Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
Even though it's November, we here at the It Takes Two studio decided, well, it was actually Strider's opinion, we're going to continue on with remakes, except we did some spooky movies.
Yeah, we were supposed to do Solaris.
But there was a problem.
We couldn't get Solaris, basically, is the problem. The problem was actually...
Solaris, the original from, what was it, 1950?
Is it that old? I don't remember.
Yeah.
The problem is, we didn't get Solaris.
We couldn't find
time,
Solaris.
In time to make Solaris episode.
So
Nick suggested a different remake that was on our list, but not till like 2032 or something.
So in this episode... Sit back and scream for Dawn of the Dead, 1978 and 2004.
Yeah, there's a zombie movies.
Thanks for listening.
So I think there were zombies in these movies. That's my thought.
Okay. This was the first time watching both of them for you, correct?
Yep.
They were in my DVD collection. It was very easy to find because it was like, here's one and here's
the other.
Yeah,
that's basically, the decision was like, well, what do we have?
Yeah.
What do we have right now?
Yeah, what do we have to go to a library for?
What do we not need to, like, get on Bema Film?
Yeah.
Or
anyway.
That is, by the way, if anyone wants films in New Zealand, Bema Film is your library resource. Get yourself a library card and you can get on Bema Film.
Correct.
The original Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, but not
the remake.
Because that's another episode that we tried to do earlier this year. If you or anyone you know has a copy of the remake of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari...
First question is, why? Second question is, please can we have it?
Please send it to me. Anyway, but the original is on Bema Film, and it's a good resource. There's a lot of stuff on there. I recommend it. Join your library.
Anyway, to the point, this was the first time you'd seen both of these films.
Yep.
Which one did you prefer?
Original.
Okay. Did you enjoy the original?
I mean, I guess. What do you mean? Why did you say it like that?
I don't know. I'm trying to engage conversation.
Is this how we normally do the podcast?
No, I think it's been a long week.
I will say this
is a weeknight.
Yeah. Also, we watched them like a week ago.
Yeah.
A solid week ago, we watched these movies. I will say I had one thought about the remake.
Was it that Phil Dunphy's a dick?
No, the thought was that I suddenly understand why you like Zack Snyder, and it's because you and him are the only people on the planet who listen to Richard Cheese.
Shout out to my cheese heads.
I don't
know if that's actually a fan group, but it is now.
I think in one of our other recent episodes, you were like, shout out to my something heads, and I don't even remember what it was. But it seems to just be what you do now. Was it Tessa Violet? Were we talking about you, like, shout out to my violets or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
Where are we going?
When that song came on, I was like, oh, this is why he likes this movie.
Okay. So, I'm going to get into the grisly details. The special effects in the 2004 one are really good. Obviously, the 78 one, they are very cartoonish.
That's intentional.
Like, yeah.
It's supposed to be comic book style.
Yeah. I think, despite the fact that it was written by James Gunn and directed by Zack Snyder, there's some decent growth within the genre in this movie.
No.
No? You don't agree?
Here's my big gripe. My number one gripe.
Okay.
Is...
Put that at the top of the list.
Why is a movie from the 70s 1,000 times more progressive than a movie from the 2000s? Why have they reverted back in time and made the black guys shitty And literally, like, the original movie is like, there's a bunch of black guys and they're all cool.
Yeah.
And then in this one, they're like, oh, he's black and therefore he's a thief. He steals cars. That's what he does because he's black and that's what black guys do.
Yeah.
In the original, you've got a main female character who doesn't scream once in the movie, mm-hmm. is incredibly practical. At one point is like, listen, I don't know about you guys. I want to learn how to fly the helicopter because if the guy, we have one guy here who can fly the helicopter. If he dies, we're all screwed.
Yeah.
So I want to learn to do that so that I can take over if anything happens to him. And in the remake, they have a woman who just constantly screams and then is, and then like, an, every woman is stupid and every woman is like dependent on the man and is real shitty. And like, literally, there's not a single female character who isn't a sexist trope.
Correct.
Zack Snyder is incredibly sexist. Yes. I mean, this is the guy who made Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
He is known for it, and this movie literally takes a film where they had a genuinely strong female protagonist and, like, well-written, well-acted female protagonist in the original film, and they turned it into a sexist shit show.
Yep.
And also, they were like, oh, there's black guys in the original. We'll put black guys in this one, but we'll make them shitty. We'll make the, instead of the really cool black protagonist, we're gonna have this guy who's like so stupid he's gonna be driving people towards their death, and we're gonna put a secondary, be a black character in the main cast, and he's a thief because that's I'm Zack Snyder and I think that's what black people do.
You're very accurate, actually, on pretty much every point I was gonna cover on the difference between these movies. So well done. I love George R. Romero, right? It's so influential of the time. Each movie that he's written and made is about, like, a period of time. Dawn of the Dead from 1978 is very much about commercialism, capitalism, and this consumeristic ideal that America was turning into in the late 70s into the 80s. And it is portrayed so very well in the original Dawn of the Dead and is literally a throwaway line in the remake.
Mm-hmm.
This whole concept of, like, they're zombies, we don't know if they're alive, we don't know if they're dead, the sort of mistrust of the media, the fact that racist cops were just basically using the excuse of zombies to massacre poor people that were living in project areas, the ideals of consumerism consuming America from the internal core, and this concept of these mindless zombies just doing the same thing they always do, and that's why the whole thing's set in a mall. You're right about the progressiveness of the characters not being just, like, damsel in distress or, you know, piece of artwork on the wall. All of the movies that he's done have been about the time that they were made in. And it is absolutely fantastic watching that movie again and then seeing the comparison and just being like, wow, these movies are completely different tones. And the fact that, you know, that was sort of progressive within the genre of zombie movies, because that's, like, fast zombies became a thing. But, like, everything else is really tonally deaf. And other than the old weird bits of trivia about the remake, it doesn't hold up to the original.
No. We did another, I'm trying to think of what it was. We did another episode where the remake just wasn't understanding what the original tried to say.
And if you're a super fan, tell us on our Discord.
I might think of it, but, like, I felt like it's the same in this one where he was like, where, like, James Gunn and Zack Snyder looked at the original and went, oh, zombies and blood, let's do that. And never thought to think of, like, what the movie was actually representing, what it was actually supposed to mean. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a thing in, like, sci-fi as a whole and in horror. you know, that you do use these genres to take a look at society and what's going well and what's going badly. And especially, you know, the criticizing governments or criticizing, you know, societal institutions and things. And that, like, that is how science fiction has always been. And it's, yeah, to an extent, how horror has always been.
Yeah. Horror to me, what makes good horror is basically it just holds up a mirror to the society of the people going to see it.
Yeah. And I think it's lazy writing to just ignore all that and be like, haha, we're just some stupid people and a zombie.
Yeah. These spoilers for a lot of his other works, because I'm just going to talk about like the themes here. You've got this capitalism that's rife within in Dawn of the Dead. Jumping to the end of his career before he passed, we have the three movies. I think I've got them all on DVD out there, actually. We've got Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and Survival of the Dead. And for you know, this, for all the negatives that Lisa said about the remake, he was still there at the end of his life and the end of his career with those last three movies, because like Land of the Dead's about classism, and again following on the capitalistic line of every time you do something they just move the bar and you stay in the same place. You know, you get paid more, but the taxes go up. You know, how inflation is literally, topically, inflation is now killing most of the Western society. And it's still fantastic that even though that they are, these themes are veiledly hidden within the, you're right?
Yes. Yeah, I remembered what it was Old Boy.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. God, what a horrible remake.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, these themes veiled behind, you know, all the scary zombie movie. Land of the Dead is fantastic. And, like, you haven't seen Diary of the Dead.
I don't think I've seen any Romero films except this one.
All right.
I was trying to look through his filmography there, and maybe I might have seen Monkey Shines.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it.
But yeah. Land of the Dead and Diary of the Dead. Survival of the Dead's interesting. I'm not a huge fan of that movie. Maybe I'll have to revisit it. It's so incredible that he was able to, yeah, like I said, place a mirror to society, show you the problems, but then hide it behind a genre. And it's interesting because, like, why I love zombie, what used to love a zombie apocalypse until it was overdone by, obviously, the media, because it's the fear of humanity. Because that's what humans are. That's the whole... I've decrypted the entire genre to you folks, if you didn't realise. It's vampires, they're all, like vampire original movies, they were always like foreign men preying on young women, and they were lavish and had money, and you get werewolves that are basically... kind of in a way a like a little racisty towards foreigners again. You get for the original work Night of the Living Dead, it's very much like borderline like the Red Scare, that whole concept of foreign power.
There's definitely zombie movies that are about the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Is which a perfect is, example of that.
I think is what Zack Snyder was trying to remake, even though he was remaking Day of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was really trying to do 28 Days Later.
Day of the Dead wasn't until 85.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I just combined 28 Days Later and Dawn of the Dead.
You know, I completely agree with you. It is, and I think the biggest problem, like, we didn't have this issue, and I anybody who's been a long time listener will have heard me gone on about Ripley multiple times in Sigourney Weaver's portrayal of how you write a good character is you write a good character.
Yeah, and the gender is irrelevant.
And the gender's irrelevant.
Yeah.
The problem is with these days is it's the opposite way round. And I feel that it portrays women poorly, especially on film, because if you make them useless, it becomes a stereotype of, oh, great, you can't write women. But then if you give them every super single, make them the most powerful and the awesome and they can never fail, you're not watching a movie, you're just watching weird fan fiction. There's no... Yeah. You have to have those peaks and valleys.
I think it's interesting because from a cinematic history point of view, and I don't want to give Zack Snyder an out here because he continued to do it, and that's what, you know, I think he just is sexist. But at that point in time in mainstream cinema, it was quite common to be sexist.
Yeah.
And it's interesting what's most interesting to me about this is watching the 70s version being like, oh yeah, in old movies, they weren't horribly sexist. So there's obviously like a bell curve or somewhere in the late 90s into the early 2000s. Because even like, you know, this comes up on National Treasure Hunt, just to promo another podcast, about the original National Treasure movie. It's like, even though one of the main characters is a very accomplished, intelligent woman, the movie gets weirdly sexist about her, like, over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that's not a movie that's intended to be a sexist movie, whereas this, I think, is.
Yeah.
I think, at that point in time in our society and reflected in films, there weirdly was a lot of sexism happening. And I think we're coming out of that to some extent, and maybe some people are lagging behind and still putting in their films.
Josh, we're looking at you, buddy.
You mean Joss?
Well, Joss, yeah. Look at, you know, turn one of the most powerful female characters in all of media, the Wonder Woman, and turn her into a useless, like, weird bimbo thing.
That's bizarre to me as well, because, like, Joss Whedon...
Oh, that whole thing is super weird.
Which thing?
The Buffy, the late end Buffy stuff.
Yeah.
Going into like Dollhouse.
Yeah. At the end. It's just that, like, the beginnings of Buffy didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what happened to you? But if you watch, I mean, I love Dr. Horrible's sing along vlog, but it is problematic AF when you look at the female protagonist in it, or the main female character. And how she's treated, because she's literally barely treated as a person.
Yeah.
She's just like an object for them to fight over. Which is how Joss Whedon sees women, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
but like, Zack Snyder could be the same. I don't know about James Gunn. I do think, because we talked about him when we did the Super episode, and I feel like I had weird feelings about that movie, rewatching it.
Yeah.
It
was the whole one can be played for a comic relief and the other has to be played by, as in, shit's getting real, this is a serious moment, but it's the same act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that just doesn't sit well with me. And I think there is, and I mean, this is early stuff as well, I guess. Oh, but there was something I thought of when I was watching it that I thought was funny, but I can't remember what it was.
Which one?
With the remake. But it was that, like, people were not keen on James Gunn writing the movie when it was announced first, because all he had done was the Scooby-Doo movies, and they were worried he was going to make another Scooby-Doo movie. I actually liked the Scooby-Doo movies.
I could literally talk about Scooby-Doo for at least 45 minutes without taking a break.
The movies, or just Scooby-Doo as a whole? Just Scooby-Doo
in general.
I love Scooby-Doo.
It's very interesting. It's a very interesting time and subject.
I remember what it was. What I said. So this is a spoiler alert for the remake. I know we always say
from 2004.
From 2004.
You've had time.
Spoiler, folks. spoiler, because I am going to talk about the ending of the movie. What the funny thing I thought of was that they end up on an island full of zombies, and I was like, oh, Scooby-Doo and Zombie Island. Couldn't get away from it.
It's interesting because I can't remember his name. Who's the guy who plays Phil Dunphy?
What's the guy's name? I should know his name.
See his name pop up. We've been rewatching Modern Family at the moment.
Rewatching? I've been watching it for the first time.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen
Ty Burrell.
Yeah. It's very interesting because a lot of his portrayals are, other than the because I'd forgotten he was in it until, you know, we put the disc in. The only other thing I can think of he's in is like
National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
I was going to say he plays a Nazi in Key and Peele.
Right.
Which is super weird. I can't literally think of anything else that he's
besides in. National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets? Yes,
where he's playing museum caretaker for the White House.
Yeah. Is he curator?
Curator.
The White House? His name is Connor. I remember that much, but I can't. I think he's a curator for the White House. Anyway, he also was in the sequel to the 2011 Muppets movie, so Muppets Most Wanted. I think he plays a villain in that as well, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he not but like a comical Muppets villain, not like sexist, horrible monster man.
Yeah.
Who's just like constantly having sex for some reason in the zombie apocalypse.
It's the interesting part about like the remake is they do bring back two of the main cast members from the original, which I thought was nice. It's interesting because like it does feel like they were trying to make an homage but then missed the entire point of the movie.
Yeah, same with Old Boy.
Yeah. It's just such a weird, because we were like, it was borderline an obsession at one point.
What?
Like zombies, obviously with like the failures of the spin-offs of The Walking Dead, I think we're like oversaturated. And the weird Netflix heist movie that he made.
Who?
Zack Snyder.
I don't know what Zack Snyder has made.
He made a zombie heist movie where they have to break into like a casino in Vegas, but the casino in Vegas is overtaken by zombies.
Okay.
It was really, and then they made a prequel to it, which is just a heist movie.
There was about that Korean zombie thing that we watched on Netflix? That was cool.
Oh, was that Last Kingdom?
Is that what it's called? That was cool. That was a cool-ass thing. Was it a show or a movie?
There was a show. It was like several seasons.
Was it several seasons? It was very cool. Sure. This was when we first started dating, I think. It was before we even lived together. Was this called Kingdom?
Maybe?
Anyway. There are still good zombies.
Oh, Train to Busan?
Oh, yeah. Train to Busan is incredible. And also, released the same week as this remake, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead is a much better homage to Dawn of the Dead than Dawn of the Dead.
You were right, it was just called Kingdom.
Just called Kingdom, yeah. That was a good show.
If you haven't seen Kingdom, folks, I highly recommend it. It is like a feudal Korean zombie show.
And yeah, it's very, very
really
cool.
Well done.
And Train to Busan, if you haven't seen it, is like God. Just masterpiece of cinema.
Absolutely.
Genuinely masterpiece of cinema.
The acting's fantastic, the setting's fantastic, like the special effects.
It makes you so angry because like everything that you're hoping for things to happen or you're like dreading, you're like hoping for some horrible things to not happen, and every time you're like, no, don't let that happen, it's what happens, and you're like, oh, no. But it's like, it's a zombie movie that is so incredibly emotional.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And also like, oh, I mean, I know this isn't what we're talking about, but like, just like the character growth.
Yeah.
Absolutely lacking from, yeah, from exactly. Dawn of the Dead.
Exactly.
None of it. Train to Busan has like one of the greatest like character arcs. And it's like in real time. I think the whole thing is in real time. It's not. There's no, like, time skips or anything.
It's so annoying going back to between the two, right? Between the original and the remake.
It's not like we get a lot of... In fairness, we don't get a lot of character development in the original, either.
Yeah.
But we at least get to learn about the characters and see them. There is some development, you know what I mean? And there's like them learning how to cope in the world that they're in or whatever, and that's entirely missing from the remake.
It's almost like James, you know, this, who was writing it, both of them are very guilty of this. They were like, cool, here's an original thought. What are people doing in a mall? And they try on clothes and they dick around and they, you know, they drink coffee and they do all that. And it's like, cool, did you like watch the original? Because that's like the whole thing of like, oh, cool, we've taken over the mall. Now what do we do other than survive? Let's go shopping. Like, and it's in the original, it is cool. No matter how far away you try and disconnect, we are in a capitalist society. There is no barter. There is no trade. You just go and you buy things.
Yeah.
And it's for multiple reasons. You want, you need the, you know, this whole industry of incremental growth within tech causing so much e-waste. You know, every year you have to go and get a new phone because it's got a slightly better widgety doodad in it. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but I'm literally never buying a new generation phone that has a built-in AI in it.
Oh my god,
you've
built-in AI.
Because I don't want that. And in all these products, it's built-in. You can't take it out.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't been using Google in quite a while. And then I tried to Google something the other day. Because I've been mainly using DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
And at work, it auto-defaults to Bing. So I've been using Bing sometimes. That's a blast from the past. I didn't even realize Bing still existed. But I tried to Google something the other day, and it just came up with AI results that didn't even make any sense to what... I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
It's very interesting that they've taken what used to work, which is it finds the keywords in the whole internet that is on the right side of the wall and puts those words together, and that's how you get your search engine function.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, we'll use AI to run it. What's the most popular answer rather than what's the actual information you're looking for?
Yeah.
And, you know, AI to help, you know, ChatGPT, that sort of thing, is helping out, but it's getting worse because the amount of information it's getting is not the information you want. And it was like I was saying to you yesterday, was it yesterday? Mm. We were walking home together. And the fact that news website host ads in them, and the ads are fake news.
Yep.
And it's like this, like, oh, you should respect us because of our journalistic integrity. And it's like, where is it? Mm. Is it hidden behind your paywall? Or is it in the 10 doctors don't want you to know about this berry thing? And you're like, that's bullshit. And because people doom scroll, because that's what we all want to do, because we all live in a, you know, society of, you know, the dopamine hit must be tap, 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 tapped on forever until we have a heart attack. Or your legs go numb. The reality of it is it's just, it's so lost in the remake. It is absolutely lost. It's just like, oh, cool, here's the thing they did in the original. Let's do it with all of our extra characters that are all two-dimensional.
Can I say, I remembered, here's the thing about having watched the movies and then gone a week before we've done the podcast, is that I forgot the things I was really angry about, and I've remembered what I was really angry about.
Fantastic. Let me have it. Well, not me, but, you know.
So, there's a quote in the original. I don't know if I took down the full quote, but I thought it was fantastic. It's probably the most famous quote. I don't know anything about the movie, so it may or may not be the most famous quote. But it was the quote about... sorry, I thought I had it there and then I lost it. Where he's like...
That's how my brain works.
It's the about the dead walk the earth thing, and it's like when there's no more when there's no more room in hell
and the dead will walk the earth.
Yeah, and in the original, badass.
Yeah.
In the remake...
Oh my god, yeah.
They give that line to a televangelist who... instead of using it to be like, this is the dire situation we're in, uses that to be like, hey, the gays caused this.
Yeah.
Hey, this is all because gay people exist. That's why the zombie apocalypse happens. And the worst thing about it is that Zack Snyder validates it. Because in this universe, that is fucking true.
Yeah.
That is the accurate state. So in it, he blames it on three different things. One is having sex out of wedlock, killing unborn children, and man-on-man relationships.
Yeah.
And those are the characters that were given in this movie. All three of those things, well, not really all three of them happen on screen, but the sex out of wedlock happens on screen, and those people get turned into zombies and die.
Yeah.
Killing unborn children is a weird one because it doesn't even make any sense, because what they do is there's a guy...
Spoilers!
Spoiler! A guy keeps his pregnant wife tied to a bed when she starts turning into a zombie and hides her from everyone else in the typical zombie movie, I'm not telling people this person is bitten thing. Unlike in the original where the guy's like, shit, I'm bitten. We think this is how it spreads.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm gonna die.
Do it together before, but don't kill me until you're sure that I'm starting to come back as a zombie, and then they do it. You know, and it's like actually, it's, you know, you see the relationship between people and blah blah. Anyway, in this one, it's stupid. So then the guy, his wife is a zombie, and then she gives birth to a zombie baby, and then someone comes in and sees him, and he shoots her, or she shoots the woman, and he shoots her, and then. And then everyone's dead, and the baby's a zombie, and then they have to shoot the baby zombie. And that's the killing unborn children. But actually, the problem could have been solved by an abortion. Actually, the whole zombie situation would have been better if the baby had died while it was still in the womb. So I don't know what point you were trying to make there, Zach, but, or James, whichever of you decided on that whole situation. But you made the opposite of your point. And then there's Glenn who cross dresses and therefore deserves to be a zombie.
And he's also gay.
Yeah. But does he explicitly say it? I can't remember.
Yeah, he said, it's so awkward. I do not know why it's in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I know why it's in the movie. It's so they can prove that gay people cause the apocalypse.
The security guards who basically try to arrest them and stop them from like wandering around the mall when they break in the original get thrown in jail, and then he's just like confessing like his feelings to them.
Right.
Like unwillingly, and it feels very much like, it's so weird because it just feels like that's not a situation that people do.
Yeah, and I felt like, also I thought it was weird that like the first time they try to show is just, it's literally just him putting on women's clothes. Yeah. And we're supposed to go, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
And the fact that he's anti-religious. And it's like, oh,
even though he works in a church.
Yeah. He plays the organ in a church. It's like, oh, I don't actually give a shit about religion because I'm the gay character.
Yeah.
It's just like,
because I'm the gay character and that's what we're supposed to do. And also I cause the apocalypse. So not only is this movie sexist, it's also homophobic and blames the apocalypse on gay people and
abortions. What's the third one?
Having sex outside of wedlock. Yeah.
I
don't even know what else to say about that.
So the I can't even remember the character's name, and I'm sorry because it's the main point. One of the characters in the movie is the flirt with everybody character. She's like the hypersexualized. She's the one having sex with Phil Dunphy,
right?
Because he's like super rich. That's why he has a boat. Was he a weatherman?
Was it Monica?
Yeah. Do you remember how Monica and Glenn die?
The chainsaw?
Yeah. He stabs her with a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
What is a chainsaw? Like, I was like, is the symbolism supposed to be there as,
is
like...
Is it supposed to be like a phallic thing?
Yeah, that's like my entire... Like, when I was watching, I was like, is this like the... Oh, that he dies because he... penetrates a woman, like, is that the like throwaway thing, or am I just reading too deep into like his hate for it? Like,
I don't know. Oh, it's just such a bad movie, to be honest. Sorry, I know you have it on DVD, so you obviously do enjoy it.
Looking through it from a lens of the original versus the remake,
mm-hmm.
looking at the things that I didn't used to look at when I was younger, because this movie came out in 2004, I probably bought it around, you know, what would I have been like? Yeah.
Well, this is like me watching Super, because I enjoyed Super the first time I watched it, and then we watched it for the podcast, and I was like, jeez, like, why? But it also kind of shows how normalized that kind of stuff was
in the
2000s.
Where was I going? What was I saying before? I was talking about when I bought the movie, when the movie
You were talking about, like, looking at it from a different lens.
Oh, yeah. It's awful now.
Mm.
You know, it's so interesting that it's so far away from the pulse, his fingers might as well be up his ass, or his head, in this case. And the juxtaposition between that and how Romero stayed on brand, stayed on the pulse, and was just, like, trying to, again, show the... And that's why I think it's been noted before of anybody who's on the Discord in my rant about Scream. That's one we have to cover at some point, right?
Scream?
Doesn't they do, like, a soft reboot thing with General Tager?
Oh, I thought it was just sequels.
I think there's lots of sequels, but I think it's, like, a soft reboot.
I don't know, because I think like, Gale Weathers and stuff show up in it again, and Sydney's in it again, so I don't think it's... Possible. Reboot. I don't know enough about the recent ones. I think I've only seen the first three.
It's that glorification of...
Glorification.
Glorification, thank you. Without you, I would be lost. And talking to myself instead of you at home or at work or wherever you are.
I thought you meant me, and I was like, I'm clearly right here.
He's lost his mind. I just never liked Scream because it's just so, like, at least I know what you did last summer was like, oh, you know, just because you're rich and, you know, you go to a private school and blah, 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 because, you know, you trust fund kid doesn't mean you get away with stuff being unpunished. And Scream is just the people in my opinion, the people who watch Fight Club and American Psycho and take a wrong,
mm-hmm.
and Joker, the original Joker, and take away the, not the remake, because we haven't, not the remake, sorry, the sequel.
Yeah, I was like the original Joker.
And take away the wrong point of those mm-hmm. movies where that character is the bad person.
Yeah.
I feel like that, like, there was some use of people that had disabilities or amputations as the zombies.
In both movies, actually. Yeah.
The way they filmed it was, like, pretty, like, you know, using that sort of thing. Like I said earlier in the podcast, we were talking about, like, the effects are in a fantastic, and that was, they were all practical, versus where everything these days is shitty CGI garbage, to the point where they, like, CGI'd out an entire character. Do you know about that for the, one of the characters, I think it was your...
Is this in Stalin's campaign photos?
What?
this is what Stalin did.
Oh, yeah.
Stalin just, like,
Photoshopped out people.
Photoshopped out.
People he didn't like.
But, like, manually got people to Photoshop out people he didn't like from his photos. And make bigger crowds and stuff.
That weird heist movie. They literally, they Photoshopped out an entire character and Photoshopped another person in there, in their place. I can't remember. There was some controversy. I'm going to have to find it now because I do not remember.
This is the Zack Snyder.
Yeah, this is a Zack Snyder thing. One. There was someone too problematic to be in a Zack Snyder movie.
Stop pronouncing his name weirdly.
How am I pronouncing it? Snyder?
Yes, you're putting like an H in there or a CH thing. It's just S-N-Y-D.
Army of the Dead? Zombie heist movie. There we go.
I don't know what a zombie heist movie is.
It's the, yeah.
Is it called Zombie Heist Movie?
No, it's called Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. Is that not a sequel to The Evil Dead?
No, that's...
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness, yeah. Where is it?
Too many
things?
dead movies. Too many movies about dead people.
Financial crisis, blah, 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 blah. Where the hell's the bit where the...
I don't know. This is dead air on our podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep talking.
I'll start going into trivia.
Please go into trivia while I find the trivia about a movie that's not related to this movie.
Yeah, it sounds good. That sounds good. Okay, so the original. So the extras who appeared in the original film were given $1 in cash, a donut, and a Dawn of the Dead t-shirt as payment.
The extras were?
Yeah.
That's cool.
$1 cash, a donut, and a Dawn of the Dead t-shirt. The filming at the malls, it was a real mall, Monroeville Mall, took place in the winter of 1977 into 1978, they took 3 weeks off filming during the Christmas shopping season, because they wouldn't have been able to shoot it. What I loved about this is they sort of filmed them all from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day, right?
Yeah.
But the only reason they started at 6 a.m., so the mall didn't actually open until 10:30 in the morning. But at 6 a.m., the music came on and no one could figure out how to turn it off.
Is that why it's in the movie?
I think they put in their own music in the movie. But, like, the music that played automatically in the mall would come on at 6 a.m. every day and literally no one could figure out how to turn it off. So they just stopped filming at 6 every day. Which I think is very funny. And there was a bar, there was a few bars in the area, so apparently, like, the guy who did all the special effects used to, like, remembers doing makeup for zombies and then went off and had a drink in the bar. and he thinks that that helps their performances, that they came back, like, drunk and swaying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is very funny. But they did apparently also, like, steal a golf cart and crash it inside the mall, some of the drunk zombie extras.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I literally took this note because it's something we were discussing recently. The fake blood used was a mixture of food coloring, peanut butter, and cane sugar syrup. We were for Halloween, we were looking at doing fake blood, and we did look at recipes with peanut butter in them.
Yeah. It's very sticky.
So it's interesting to see. Oh, I don't think the peanut butter is sticky. It's the syrups. The syrups are sticky. So it's funny to see that that's what they used for their chunky blood in this movie. So Tom Savini is the name of the guy who did the special makeup effects. And he seems to just be like a genius. George A. Romero. That's
the trivia. He just seems to be.
Oh, it's just like his name comes up a lot, and he single handedly did everything in these movies. Like, he seems to be incredible. I think he also is in it. I don't remember as who. So this is a sequel, which I didn't realize till we started watching it. It's a sequel to Night of the Living Dead, and George A. Romero had wanted Tom Savini to do the makeup effects for Night of the Living Dead. But he couldn't commit to it because he had to go on a tour of Vietnam. So he had served. So he's a combat photographer in the U.S. Army. And that was how he is so good at doing gore. Because he has seen so much of it up close and in person and documented it and looked at, you know, how it looks on film.
You should have seen my face because it's very accurate of why it would have been looked good on screen.
Yeah, yeah. So then he obviously came back from Vietnam and did Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the graphic gory effects. And I think possibly a reason why they have people who are amputees in it is because of his experience in Vietnam and what he saw there. So he largely was recreating what he had seen in real life. So that was what he did. He did stunts as well. On the this guy seems to have been like just the best guy to have on your film, because they had like no budget. They had a shoestring budget. They couldn't afford professional stunt people. So Tom Savini, the makeup artist, and I don't know if it was his assistant or George A. Romero's assistant, a guy named Tasso Stavrakis. Volunteered to be the stunt double. So they did almost every stunt in the film. Just these two guys. So almost every stunt that you see in the entire original Dawn of the Dead is the makeup artist and an assistant.
That's fantastic.
Doing all the stunts. And Savini, at one point, when he did a dive over the rail of the mall, and he almost missed the cardboard boxes he was supposed to land in. And his legs and his back landed on the ground.
Ugh.
So he had to work from the golf cart for several days. Couldn't
work from the golf cart.
He had to work from the golf cart.
Don't mind me, folks. I'm just crippled.
And then there's also there's a shot where someone swings down from a banner. That's the other guy, and he wound up slamming into the ceiling. So. You can tell they were professional stunt guys, but I mean, what a job. Like, they did fantastic, and I definitely did fantastic with the gore. So this guy was just doing all of it. So he had a crew of 8 people. He got a crew of 8 people to help him apply makeup to 200 extras.
Jesus.
So this one guy, and then he got a crew of 8 to help him. To make up
one-man army.
Yeah. And then he was, while they were in makeup, he was doing the stunts.
Yeah, yeah.
Just incredible. So the shot, there's a shot near the beginning, and it actually kind of sets up the violence for the rest of the movie, but it wasn't supposed to be in it originally, which is the guy whose head explodes in the tenement buildings. They shoot a guy's head and it explodes. So the head was not made for that purpose, but the reason it was made, the scene ended up not happening how they wanted it to happen, so then they were like, let's use it somewhere else. So the original, do you know about the original ending of the movie?
No.
Okay, so massive spoilers for the original Dawn of the Dead. So the end of the movie, how it actually plays out in the film, is, I've forgotten the characters' names, because it's been a week since we watched it. There's 2 of them left at the end. the black cop and the woman. I should know their names, but I am blanking. I was going to say Peter. I don't think his name is Peter, is it?
I think the guy who dies is Peter. Fran and Peter, yeah.
Oh, it is Peter. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So Peter... So everyone else has died. Fran, who has learned to use the helicopter, goes up and gets into the helicopter.
And she's pregnant, right?
Yeah, she's pregnant. Yeah, yeah. And Peter decides he's not going with her, and he goes into a room and he puts a gun against his head. And then he has a change of heart, and he comes out, and he gets up, and he gets into the helicopter, and they go away together.
Yeah.
In the original, he does kill himself.
Right.
And she, when the zombies are coming towards her, stands up out of the helicopter and gets her head chopped off.
Jesus.
By the blades. And that's the end of the movie. And then George A. Romero basically said, like, throughout filming the movie, he kind of fell in love with the characters and he didn't want to do that to them anymore. So he changed it so that Peter has a change of heart and comes out, and also that she doesn't stand up too high getting away from the zombies. But they had made her head. They had made a fake version of her head.
Right.
For the decapitation by helicopter scene. So instead of that, when they decided to change the ending, Tom Savini then made it look like an African-American man and filled it with food scraps, and then they shot it with an actual shotgun.
Makes
to
sense.
Explode the head. That's how that scene ended up in the movie. And then the only other bit of trivia I had taken down about the original was that it was banned in Queensland, Australia until 1986.
You know, it's Peter who plays the televangelist in the remake, eh? Well, not Peter, but Ken Ford.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't believe he let them make him say that horrible line.
Yeah.
Like, the line on its own is badass, but then why'd they turn it into this whole other thing? Okay. Do you want trivia on the remake?
Yeah.
So Ving Rhames heard that they were making a remake, and he tracked down the producers to be like, I want to be in this film. The main reason why was because he knew the original, was familiar with the original, and he knew that it was a movie where it was a horror movie where the black guy lives up to the end.
Makes sense, yeah.
And he was like, I want to be in the movie where the black guy lives. And that was literally it. And he tracked them down and got them to put him in the movie. For the scenes where Anna is stitching up Kenneth's wounds, they hired a real nurse for the close-up shots.
I do know this fact.
Yeah, she misunderstood directions saying to go deeper, and she punctured Ving Rhames' skin and stitched the prosthesis to his arm. And he literally didn't flinch, didn't say anything until after filming was done. And the director thought that the blood was a really good effect.
Yeah.
Until Ving Rhames was like, cool, we've cut. She's sewn this in my arm. Which is nuts. The dedication to just sit there like, okay, okay, I guess this is happening. Zach, here we go. So you know, you and your buddy.
Zach, my buddy?
Zack Snyder did personally choose the music to be in the film. So he did choose Richard Cheese and also the Johnny Cash Man Comes Around.
Because, you know, the rest of it's done by A. It's Tyler Bates.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Zack Snyder was the only person who thought these songs made any sense in the movie, and everyone else hated it. All the producers wanted him to take them out. And he was like, no, these are my songs that I'm putting in this movie. So rest assured, you and Zack Snyder really are the only Richard Cheese fans.
That's not true. There's dozens of us.
He also, Zack Snyder has said that the reason the zombies run at full speed is because he wanted to avoid the comic impression given by slow shuffling, but it was directly inspired by 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
He did just steal that. The camera crew would wear plastic sheeting during filming of the gory scenes because there was a lot of fake blood flying around.
Yeah.
So they were in basically like ponchos. The shot where they throw a body off the mall's roof, which is quite early in the movie, was filmed directly across the street from a church where there was a funeral service ongoing. So that's just sounds horrible to me. Why would you not like...
Wait.
Yeah. It was due to be released on the same week as Shaun of the Dead, but the producers of Shaun of the Dead pushed their movie back by 2 weeks because they didn't want them to clash.
Yeah.
So
you're saying that Dawn of the Dead and Shaun of the Dead are twin films?
Yeah, unfortunately.
We could shoehorn Shaun of the Dead in because I've watched it a dozen times. I saw that at the movie theater.
Did you? Yeah. I think I was too young. I think I was still a baby.
I was just like told to get in a van, whatever. And I was like, all right. And then we were like at the movie, and I was like, this is awesome.
I did have it on DVD. I remember watching it a bunch of times. I was a big fan of Spaced.
Yeah.
Pre-Shaun of the Dead, which I probably also shouldn't have watched at that age. But I was really love Spaced, and then Shaun of the Dead came out, and I was all excited about it. Anyway, I think I've covered all the trivia, except that there was one bit that I literally was just like, I read this, and I was like, I'm so confused by what this even means, and then I just took it down. So I'm just gonna read this word for word. It says, okay. Snyder isn't sure what to think about the shot of Nicole checking out Terry's ass as he walks away from her. It kind of makes me uncomfortable. She's looking at it and smirking. What's that mean?
So he's an idiot.
Yeah, so first of all, okay, let's break this down. One, Zack Snyder's an idiot. Two, he makes these incredibly sexist movies and has, like, women doing degrading acts in this. And then is like, it makes me uncomfortable to see a woman look at a man's ass. I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable. Zach, honey, what have you been doing to women in these movies?
Yeah.
But it makes you uncomfortable to see a woman look at a man's ass? That's where the line is drawn. It's almost like women can't do the things that he thinks men should be allowed to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like women are property to him and not people. And it's almost like he doesn't like it when a man is seen as an object. I wonder what's going on there. I think he might need to go to therapy. I think that's the moral of the story is Zack Snyder should get some professional help and get over his sexism issues. Did you find what you were looking for? I can't even remember what you were looking for.
Yeah, there was a guy, his name was Chris something. Chris, I can't pronounce this. D-E-L, so D apostrophe E-L-I-A.
Delia?
Delia, yeah. I thought that was what I was going to say. It was stupid. Just a basic sex abuse thing. To the point where it was, like, even though the original was reported in, like, 2011, no one did anything about it for, like, you know, until...
Wait, who is this? What are we talking about?
The person who was removed from...
Oh, right, yeah. I had literally forgotten what we were talking about. Okay.
The guy who was too controversial to be in a Zack Snyder movie. Snyder.
Do you want to talk budget and box office at all?
I'm assuming because of inflation, one cost more than the other and then made more money?
I mean, true, I guess. Comparatively... comparatively based. It's garbage. Comparatively, the original was a flop, an incredible flop.
Yeah.
Because the budget was $650,000 and the box office was $160,000. So that's a loss of money. And the remake, the budget was $26 million and box office $102 million. So actually quite successful. Probably off the back of the original... being recognized in the interim period as a good movie. And then people being like, oh, what's the remake of this? And then who knows what they thought when they saw it. Though you liked it back then, right?
Yeah, but then I liked a lot of things back then that I don't like now.
Yeah, but I'm saying that like people who went to see it in cinema at the time probably enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it made money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is very much like a of the era kind of movie.
Mm-hmm. Where the apocalypse is brought on by being gay and having abortions.
Yeah. On that note, you stay safe out there. Don't let anybody bite you. Fun fact, the reason that vets will probably survive the apocalypse is they're being used to their patients trying to bite them.
True.
That's why you never see doctors in the apocalypse and they're always vets. And people are like, wait, you're a vet? It's like, yeah, literally you try and deal with a, like, Alsatian that's
also, they've injured. Got ketamine.
All right. I didn't know that about them.
is it not, like, for horses?
I don't know.
I think it's originally for horses, right? If you want ketamine...
You're asking me, like, I know about this is a list of drugs. You know, I'm a small country boy from New Zealand.
You small country boys... grow up around horses. That's where the horses are in the country. The horses are in the country.
Maybe in your country. Only rich people own horses in New Zealand. You have to import the things. They're rather large.
We export them in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like the amount of... I think there's like a lot of like show jumpers, especially. I don't know race horses as much, but definitely show jumping horses globally that are bred in Ireland and then exported.
It's like camels. In Australia, they're a major export.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Because they just breed uncontrollably in the wilderness.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think they exported them. I thought they just, like, hung around in the desert.
Yeah, no, they export them.
Like the emus.
No, that was the army tried to destroy them and lost a war against them.
Yeah, and they learned from the emus and they're not going to try and fight the camels.
Yeah. Well, they'll team up together. Yeah, exactly. Like the Axis of Evil again, except instead of the... I was going to say Italy and Germany, it'll be the emus and the camels.
Mm-hmm.
And the kangaroos will remain neutral and take everybody's gold.
We've got Christmas episodes coming up next.
Yeah, they're the fun time of year.
This year, there's 3 December episodes.
That's crazy.
So look forward to 3 Christmas episodes.
And they are weird. Spoiler alert. They're weird.
Are they?
Yes. What are you talking about? I know what they are, and I normally don't do that yet.
We haven't done them yet.
The premise is enough to go on. Don't try and placate me with this stuff. Everybody knows that this is when the podcast is popular, is when Nick goes on a rant about the stupidity that's happening in the Hallmark movie. If you like what you heard, or if you've listened to us before, call to action. Join our Discord. You can find it somewhere. If you want to go to our website, it's somewhere here. It's up, down, left, right, circle, circle,
website
square.
Is ittakes2.co.nz, and the Discord link is in our show notes. And it's also on our website.
So Lisa made the website.
I did make the website.
She wrote everything.
I wrote everything.
Yeah, you wrote the things. You write all the things.
I do write all the things.
You're the producer. I'm just the man with the face.
I'm the marketing department and the production department and the research department.
I just have the movies on DVD.
This time you've actually looked at what we're doing for a next episode. That's a shocker.
I know. I'll forget by the time you put them on. Thank you for joining us. Don't let anybody bite you.
Goodbye.